Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Good Friday. The Dom Giordano Show, Big Issues, Big Guest. Brian Fritz is a noted attorney in town and someone suing the city of Philadelphia around the latest draconian lockdown orders. And he also, I'm told, is a guy who I think it was over 4,000 meals bought to help take out, help businesses stay afloat, and then give them to frontline workers. That is such a beautiful economic moral plan. Let's bring in Brian Fritz here on the Dom Giordano program. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show. Thanks
hey,
for joining us.
How are you, Dom? Nice to talk to you again. And just one correction. It was over 20,000 meals.
Ah, okay. That was an old article that I saw. Wow. How did you fund that, Brian? What did you do?
I funded it personally. And we had, when all this COVID stuff had started going into, probably towards the end of, second week in April, we came up with this idea to try to keep these restaurants afloat because we knew that they weren't going to make it as best we could. And also at the same time, try to give morale boost to the folks that were dealing with this unknown at various hospitals, as well as the police. And that's where we started. We started initially in Philly and South Jersey, and it eventually blossomed to also include places in Cleveland, Los Angeles, and Boca Raton, Florida. So eventually what we did was, after things started opening back up, almost simultaneously, the local police were under siege with the things going on during the summer. So we continued, though, with the police to show our support to them and some select restaurants in the Philadelphia area.
That is unbelievable. Thank you for that's amazing. But from a mutual friend, I heard after doing all that, and we're trying to get past this, you now have a suit. Don't they have the power to do this? Why does your suit say there's something about this that's arbitrary, capricious, or whatever?
Sure. Let me back up and give you some historical perspective. The Kennedy administration is not one without a history of overstepping. I mean, if we go back to the beginning of the year, there was no city council involvement, no public hearings, no public input when the administration was going to forcibly put in a safe injection site in South Philadelphia. So we should remember that and start there. Since that time, we had this, the initial thing with COVID, we were all afraid, not knowing, we didn't know. 2-week lockdown, restaurants shut down, and then gradually allowed to reopen through this incremental delay of the lifting of restrictions. So that's about 9 months since that time. And we're asking, looking back, saying, okay, well, what did the city do with all these concerns over the course of the past 9 months to determine whether or not their initial theory was correct or incorrect, whether or not indoor dining was such a hazard, whether or not the restrictions that they had indoor dining allowed to do, whether or not they're working or not working. So where is all this information, first off? And whether or not the city, what did the city consider before suddenly, oh, there's a spike in numbers. Let's get back to March. Let's shut down everything we shut down without question, such as the restaurants. So What we're saying here is, wait a minute. First off, where's the due process in this? Is the second wave spikes concerned? You've had 9 months to open this up to city council being involved, to have public hearings on this, to have full transparency on your decision making and come up with a plan so that it could be as least economically destructive as possible, and at least have a discussion versus Mayor Kenney and his Farley, who's heading up the Department of Health, leaving it up to two individuals. So that's a lack of due process there. So that's part of our argument, a constitutional argument now. Second thing is equal protection. Well, the city had, you can't go to an indoor restaurant, or the restaurants have to close, or we all can do something we've never done before. We can ask to sit outside in the middle of December at a Philadelphia area restaurant. Who's ever done that in their lives? But you can go to a Lowe's, a Wawa, a Walmart. So we want to, in terms of equal protection, how is this being so draconianly, in a draconian fashion, imposed on restaurants, but not on these other big, massive retailers? And what's the city's basis for that? Because this certainly is an equal application of the law.
Well, Brian, they will make an essential argument. What do you say to that, then? Who determines what's essential, right?
Well, here's the problem with that, is that we, the mayor's been acting underneath this whole provision of, emergency safety since March. Well, how long can an elected official say, I now have unfettered and unquestioned authority, and I can eliminate all the checks and balances, city council, due process, and everything else, because we're in an emergency situation?
I can answer that. They can do it forever. That's Governor Wolf. That's exactly what he did. He said emergency. You and I are right. As an attorney, or just common sense, an emergency passes. It cannot go on forever. That's been the beef here. You're right.
Well, and actually that was challenged at the state level.
Yes.
And the opinions county of Butler versus Wolf, that's actually, that order was stayed, but it's a very good analysis of the dilemma here. And people should really read that, because we're seeing it now in the city of Philadelphia, especially the city imposing greater restrictions than the surrounding counties. So how is COVID more dangerous in restaurants in Philadelphia versus Bucks, Monco, Delco, or Chester?
That's
and we
right.
want to know those answers. Now, Farley was on TV last night, and he said, there's ample evidence. Well, we haven't seen this ample evidence, and we issue the right to know to get this ample evidence, because in the past, this administration has relied upon stale or inapplicable information and packaged it in a way to achieve their results. And so they do not deserve blind faith in accepting that they know best for us. When he says ample evidence, the one thing he says is a CDC study. Well, the CDC study that I was able to find is from September. And it actually deals with, get this, 128 people who had tested positive for COVID in 11 states, none of which are Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, or Delaware. Okay? 128 mm-hmm. people that had said over the course of 14 days before they were diagnosed with COVID that they had been in a restaurant. 128
yes.
people. Out of the 11
exactly a, right, not exactly a global study. I got your point. So this happens now. Are you when's the hearing? Do you know?
So we're in the process of getting trying to get that set up to have a hearing. There was not an official, and I have not seen it unless something else has happened. This is more of a directive from the head of the Department of Health. This isn't even some sort of mayor order that we're dealing with now. Okay, as we had in the past. So now we have the director of health providing these lockdowns. Not even the mayor or an elected official. It's the Department of Health.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Brian. What would you tell people to do right now? Now, if it puts you on the spot and you can't, that's fine. That are a business in Philadelphia, because 5 o'clock, all the things you're doing are in operation. And based upon what you said, what could they do at 5 o'clock? Would you say they could remain open because this is up in the air? Or no, they have to comply?
I think that what they have to do is find the courage to make a determination as to how best to keep themselves in existence. And sometimes courage is found through necessity. And either they start raising hell, go through the legal process and finding attorneys like these restaurant tours did with us, start calling their council people, start reaching out to their state representatives, really just start pounding the pavement and raising hell, and then make a determination of what choices do they have. Because I'll tell you this, the lockdown in March, at least for the restaurants, and the ongoing restrictions has placed them on the endangered species list. If this lockdown occurs during this time where they need it the most, they're going to be facing extinction.
Yeah,
because they just can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I'm sorry,
go ahead, Brian. Yes.
Farley last night, and this is very reminiscent of what we heard back in March, where they start bleeding in certain ideas for you to say, okay, what kind of train's coming down the tracks? Last night he said, oh, well, colder weather's coming, so the number's going to spike. This won't be 6 weeks, okay, if history has taught us anything. By them bleeding in this idea of colder weather doesn't stop January 1st. Okay,
yes.
So
right.
This very likely could ride out the winter.
That's exactly right. That is extinction. So, Brian, if people want to reach you, what do they do?
Okay, they can reach me by calling the office at 215-458-2222. Our website is www.fbesq.com, or they can simply email me, bfritz@fbesq.com.
Very good. Brian, please keep us in the loop with developments around this anytime. Pleasure to have you on. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.